Welcome to Minority Corner
with an Eke
and James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only more black, gay,
and ladylike.
Ooh. Previously on Mariah
Carey.
Minority Corner. We did talk about Mariah Carey. No, we didn't.
No, that was a couple episodes ago.
But we did have Saturn on board.
We're recording right now?
It's still going.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, what else? We talked about the Slavery Museum.
We talked about Humpty Dumpty.
No, we didn't.
I clearly have no idea what we talked about last week.
Where have you been?
I don't know. It's been a crazy week. I've been caught in craziness. Fires, earthquakes. The world is coming to an end or a beginning.
I say beginning.
All right.
Fresh start.
Let's go check it out over in the Minority Corner.
Let's go.
Holding your boobs?
I was adjusting.
I caught you.
You know, some ladies like to adjust. I'm wearing the sports bra, so it's kind of, they're smashed.
All the more reason for a video podcast so everyone can see.
People need to see us.
People need to see the stuff that's happening.
I think that we need to go to some sort of fair.
Okay.
Either a wedding fair.
A renaissance fair.
Or a renaissance fair with a camera. And just let it. Told me that black people aren't there.
Well, but I might see my grandmother loves to like fight those sort of things, and she would take us, and we'd be the only black people there.
So it's true.
There was one black family, and it was my family.
And you actually went?
We went, yeah. And there was like women's boobs just hanging out.
What?
Because they wear those like corsets.
Oh,
and
that's
it's
right.
Like, boobies for sale.
Were they really like, thine, come to my ye old anvil shop?
Drink out of my crystal goblet made of iron crystals.
I want some iron crystals.
It's a thing. They used to have it back in the Renaissance. Learning things right here.
Learn, laugh, play.
Learn,
man.
Laugh, play. That's how we do.
It is.
I can't breathe.
Why can't you breathe?
And I don't mean it in a sense that I'm being suffocated by.
You literally can't breathe.
Because there's fires happening.
Is there really fires?
Yes,
there was a heat ass wave last week.
Right. Well, like, there's like, everyone's feeling congested because there's all this shit that's happening. California's on fire.
We're on fire, y'all.
I don't mean like, oh, we're really cool.
On fire, no.
No, I mean like, we're literally on fucking fire.
Give us some water, please. We're parched.
And then, I mean, are you okay? The earthquake happened.
Never forget.
Never forget.
2015.
The earthquake that rocked the bay.
Let me tell you this scary story.
A whopping 4.0, ladies and gentlemen.
I was brushing my teeth, staring at myself in the mirror, saying, you can get this, girl. You start your day. And then all of a sudden, thine was a rumble.
Oh.
And then the rumble increased.
Oh.
And I thought it was a truck. I went, is this a truck? Mm. And then it boomed, and I was like, did my dog just run into a wall? And then I thought, no, it's an earthquake. Mm. And then I continued to brush my teeth. It was a trying time.
That sounds like the craziest 0.5 seconds of your life. Because it literally was like 0.5 seconds.
And everybody freaked the fuck out on Facebook.
And that's, it's so funny because that's where I go to get my earthquake news.
Yes,
it's
to Facebook. Confirm.
You I'm go, like, was it? And then everyone's like, earthquake, earthquake, earthquake.
I know.
And it was literally like, it was like 6:49 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a big shake. I was, yeah. You know, in
it was
the
a
bed.
Jolt.
As I do. And I had this moment of like, should I get underneath? Oh, wait, nope, done. It was over. Like, it was just. It was a big shake, like the whole house shook.
Yeah.
For like 1 second.
I'm feeling your struggle right now.
It was really hot. And the day before it was really hot.
I melted a little bit.
Yeah. And like, I'm not just saying like we're Bay Area tripping
no, no,
hot.
No, no, no,
people,
no, no.
People, listen, it was like 100, and like the microclimates of San Francisco were insane.
100 degrees.
In the Mission where I live. And
yeah.
Then you go out to like the ocean and it was like 75.
What the hell?
Like, everywhere in San Francisco, it was, like, different degrees of, like, heat. You
That's
could, like,
crazy.
Feel it walking around, going to different neighborhoods. It's
and
insane.
Just to let people know, San Francisco is, like, 7 miles by 7 miles. So, climate's changing that rapidly is insane.
It's pretty insane. But I guess it's because there's all the hills or something.
That's true.
I'm not a geologist. I don't know how these things work.
Tweet us, geologists.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Hashtag Minority Corner Geology.
Ooh, I like that. Oakland was just hot all around.
Well,
it was 100 degrees.
Oakland was on fire.
Fire!
fire.
How's the show going?
The shoot. It's called a theatrical production.
Ooh, excuse me. It's going well.
It's we have 3 more weeks. Temple of Poon. Everyone was there last night,
except for me. But I'm going on the 5th.
So if y'all should go with her, do the minority corner a little. She'll live podcast the entire time.
I will. I'll be like, here comes James. There he is on the stage. I'll be signing autographs after the show.
She's like, thanks for coming. Wait a minute. So my brother came, and my brother and my cousin and my family, they came. My mother wasn't invited. I don't know if she knew. I don't know what happened. Sydney wasn't there.
Oh,
I don't know.
No.
But my brother, I love him to pieces. My brother's come so full circle to, like, you know, I have the best brother in the world. For whatever reason, they decided to put him in the front row.
Oh, snap.
My brother, my family, and my cousins are not used to being so far in the front. So they like to add their commentary.
Oh, no. They were talking back. And
it's a fine line. With this show, it is apps. We want audience engagement. Okay, good. Fine line, though.
Okay.
Like, there's one point where someone, like, the character says Snickers. My brother yells, Snickers! And
that's then not even interesting.
Darcy says, she says,
yeah,
I just said that.
Oh, no.
While that's happening.
Oh, my God.
They were like, my cousins were like, oh, we didn't know that you guys could hear us.
No shit. You're like five, like,
they were like
not
right
even
there.
A foot away.
Right there. But they had they had a great time. But there's so many jokes that are happening in the show that my cousin was like, you know, we needed to have breakout sessions, like, to discuss
to talk
the
about
jokes.
It,
they're like,
we need to dissect that last joke.
Yes, they were like, we needed like 5 intermissions. So
you know what that's telling me?
What?
Everybody's watching too much Netflix.
Oh, because then they can just talk.
They can just pause it. Dissect a joke.
Right.
Talk to the screen that's like a foot away from your face.
Yeah.
They can't hear you in Netflix.
That's true.
People, go see some live theater.
Go see some live theater. Because I will say, like, I'm back to 2015. I don't know if you knew this. I was back in
time.
Where
did you go?
I was gone. I've not been here.
You took the DeLorean. I noticed it was out of the garage.
I had to take it for a spin. I've been secretly watching and not so secretly watching old MTV Real World Road Rules challenges. I've been obsessed.
I know. We talked for like 2 hours about it a couple episodes ago.
Well, we needed to. So I've been obsessed, and that's why that episode happened.
Yes.
So I've been watching like the ones from 2000 to like, you know, 2005.
Yeah.
But I ran out of like episodes or something.
No.
So now I'm back and I'm watching Empire. And I'm watching Scream, the television series.
Is
Did you know
good?
This is... Because I wanted to watch Scream Queens, but it's not ready yet.
Like, yeah, it's not. Out it's yet. Still getting
so
ready.
Like, well, let's watch this little precursor one. It's actually pretty good.
It's good!
And, you know, like, Scream, the movie, always, like, dissects, like, the, like,
tropes.
Movies and the tropes. Mm-hmm. And they're, like, they even talk about it. They're, like, you can't make a TV show into a slasher film. And they're, like, but what about The Walking Dead? And, like... When he calls,
they are so meta.
They're so meta. And then when he calls her, like the calls the girl
to
ask her questions as he does.
Yeah.
He's like, hey girl.
As you do.
Hey girl, what you doing? Which I prefer slasher films where they're like asking me questions as opposed to like sawing off my arm.
That's not, yeah.
And
Saw movies need to just stop.
Like,
I don't need to watch somebody's face get sewed to a butt.
Or like fall into a vat of HIV
of, like,
needles.
Right. That's,
that
come on.
But this one's fun. He's like, so what are you watching on TV?
It's kind
of
sexy.
And she's like, oh, Game of Thrones, da da da. And he's like, what about How to Get Away with Murder?
Stop it.
Yes, this is so good.
Stop it. I like how in Scream they just casually chat on the phone.
They're
too.
Like, hi, how is
I
it?
I know. If somebody called me creepy and was like asking me questions, I would just hang up.
Well, he also sends text messages and like tweets and
so
stuff.
So you just can't
he's
get
like,
away.
All over the social
he's
media.
He's
very with it. He or she, we don't know who it is. I will say this, though, mm-hmm. because it's sort of like 90210, the slasher TV show, because you kind of get invested in these characters
like
and these
that.
Teens, and then they die, and it's really sad.
But that's good. That's what you want.
They don't kill off the characters you really want to die. Like,
oh,
the nice girl,
the
you're like,
ones.
Yeah, like, you're like, God damn it, why couldn't you have killed Brooke?
Brooke.
Kill Brooke.
God damn it, Brooke. That's good.
Other news.
What's going on?
Alfre Woodard.
Yes.
Why are you excited about Alfre Woodard? You tell the people. Tell the corner kids.
She is about to become a part of the Marvel family.
What? We are family. Alfre Woodard, yeah. She is gonna play Black Mariah. Did you know that's the name of her character?
No.
Alfre Woodard is playing...
Like the name is Black Mariah? Is there a white Mariah? Is it Mariah Carey who's both?
Why is Mariah Carey involved in every one of our episodes?
Because I love her. It's either Janet Jackson or Mariah Carey. Mm-hmm.
No, Alfie Woodard is... They think she's playing Black Mariah, which she is this crime boss woman.
Okay.
Who's 400 pounds.
What?
And, like, I was looking her up on, like, Wikipedia, and it was, yeah. like, powers and abilities. It was, like, no powers or abilities, but can use her weight to crush her opponents.
No!
I do not think they're going to put her in a fat
they
suit.
Best not, because she's a very sophisticated, beautiful woman.
Like, they just put Alfie Woodard
in a fat suit, and she's just, like, flopping around. That has so many body issue things that I can't even...
I think it goes back to, like... And so, she's going to be a part of Luke Cage, which is, like, the black superhero guy.
Oh, so he's black? I don't know why I didn't know that.
Yeah, Luke Cage is black, and he has a relationship with Jessica Jones, which he's in AKA Jessica Jones, which is coming out this fall.
Who's being played by Kristen Ritter.
Yes.
And I like her a lot.
Related to...
No.
Okay.
Not related to John Ritter. But yeah. She was the Bee in Apartment 23.
Which, that is a funny show.
That was a funny show.
James Van Der Beek playing himself. Was hilarious.
Amazing.
It was just making fun of himself.
It had a lot of great character people in there.
It was a great cast. Mm-hmm. I'm sad that show got canceled.
But I'm glad that Lady is getting the role.
Who, Alfie Woodard?
No, Kristen Ritter. I'm happy about Alfie Woodard, too.
Black Mariah?
Mm-hmm.
I think they might...
She can't be Black Mariah.
I think right now she's listed as a woman named Manetta.
Okay, so they're changing it up a little bit.
So maybe they're not, yeah.
Is she like a crime boss?
She's like a politician crime boss. Yes. She's kind of like the black kingpin.
Ooh, I like it.
So this is, yeah.
I don't really know much about Marvel characters that just have regular names.
Yeah, well, we're going to, like, the B-level, like,
I know. They didn't even give them, like, what's your name, Jessica Jones? You're supposed to be...
She's a failed superhero. Like, she's got superhero... She's, like, super strength, and she fucked up, and she was like, damn. And she
this is scraping the bottom of the barrel. They're like, who do we got?
Jessica Jones, she's a failure. Let's see you, she's like, damn, I failed. And she's like, well, I gotta pay my rent. I better solve these mysteries.
That's cute.
And she's like, I got blood on my pants.
And she's in an interracial romance.
And she is an interracial romance.
Swirl, y'all.
Fighting the Purple Man.
What?
It's a character called the Purple Man, and that's who she's fighting.
That's the best they could come up with. They couldn't even call him, like, the Plum, or, like...
No, Purple Man.
Purple Man.
There's the Purple Man. I think
the way you say it, too.
The Purple Man. I think he's just going to be wearing a lot of purple.
What if he has no purple on? He just is wearing red and blue, and he's like, moves really fast.
Oh, so then and then purple. Like when he moves fast, you're like, oh, there's a purple man. Where'd he go?
And he's like, red and blue.
He's like, I'm just right here. What do you mean?
I'm just red blue man. What are you talking about?
Wait. There he was. Purple I saw man. Him move. No. Last thing I would like to share with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to make, I remember back in college...
Kind of.
Okay.
Depends on which parts.
Okay. Early on in my college career, midway through yours, because we're 2 years apart.
Thanks.
Helping you to remind
Thank you.
I made a makeout list.
Oh, yeah. I remember the makeout list.
This was the talk of the town. I made a makeout list back in freshman year.
We would talk about it.
Of all the people I wanted to make out with, there was like... It was a long list.
It was extensive.
And I then posted it as my away message in Instant Messenger. I remember. And then people would be like, hey, James, you want to go to the dining hall? And then it would be my away message and be like, I want to make out with the following people. And so then it became the talk of, you know, everyone was like, are you on this list?
Can why I pause this you list for exist? A second?
Yeah.
This is why when last week we were talking about how you were a shy man to go talk to the guy at the gym, I was rolling my eyes at you because... This is the opposite of that.
But I'm saying Stella lost her groove, and I'm Stella, and it's gone.
You need to get some braids in your hair, go to Jamaica.
You and me can
meet
go.
Meet Tay Diggs.
Where is he? Who's also, he's playing Hedwig mm-hmm. right now, and I hear he's terrible.
No!
And they're canceling it. He's the last Hedwig. Tay Diggs is a drunken mess. Did I tell you about when I met Tay Diggs?
You need to tell that story right now, even though I took you off the track of your previous story. So
no, it's okay. We'll circle back. Tay Diggs was doing this event for my theater company, New Conservatory Theater Center. It's like LGBT theater company. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of like
bully
prevention programming and tours and stuff. Mm-hmm. Tay Diggs had no idea where he was, why he was there, never plugged our program or anything. He was drunk. This was right before he was about to divorce Idina Mendina Manzelli.
Let it go, let it go.
But how did John Travolta say her name? Letty Matizala.
He said like Adine Manzini.
Adele Mazine.
Yeah, that's right.
So he's about to divorce her.
Yeah.
And so he would like, and he was like, we didn't know this was happening, but he'd be like, man, marriage is tough. And then he'd sing this like sad like breaking up with my wife song or like things aren't
that
working
Mr.
out.
Cellophane song. I hate that song. Cellophane.
But so I made a makeout list back in freshman year.
Yes, I remember this list.
That's how I made out with 46 people.
I was not one of them, and I was not on the list.
You were on the list.
I was.
Vaguely remember you being there.
I feel like it was a sympathy. It was probably like me being like, "Hey," and then you're like,
So I made out with 46 people because that list happened, and so now since I'm making another makeout list,
you are
for San Francisco Bay Area before I leave.
Oh snap!
To do list.
This is like a teen rom com or sex romp movie right now, about to start.
Checking them off, and here's the difference. This time, I'm not gonna post who's on the list.
It's just secret list.
It's a secret. I'm gonna let people know the list exists, and you may be on it, you may not.
Can I see it?
Yeah.
Okay. Because we've already kissed. I've just remembered because we were in a play together.
Yeah, that's when we kissed. Not at that crazy college party.
No.
Was that Julia?
That had to be Julia. Me and you were always structured with our...
Fair enough. We would, like, slow dance, like, eighth grade school style.
Because you're my brother!
Fair enough. I'm not into the incest. Ew. Oh, okay. Yeah. And you're back at school?
I am back.
How's that going?
Backstreet's back. All right.
Didn't you watch a Backstreet Boys movie?
The documentary is amazing.
Do you recommend that the corner kids watch it?
I highly recommend you watch it. It's called Never Say Never Backstreet Boys documentary. Something like that. Just look up Backstreet Boys.
Documentary. It's on Netflix, isn't it?
Yes, it's so good. What? It's like Spinal Tap times 11. Like, they don't even understand the ridiculous things that they're saying.
Wow.
They are amazing.
And all five of them are in it.
All five of them are in it. Howie D is the most disgruntled little man ever in the world.
Do you know that he was my favorite? He was my secret crush.
You need to write him that letter.
He was my secret crush.
Put him on your list.
He was so cute.
He ain't doing nothing. Put him on your list. Okay. Make out with him.
Howie D is, I'm writing it down right now. Howie D, make out. Okay.
He's literally writing.
He was the one that I felt was like attainable.
Ooh, that.
He was cute. He had a good body. And I was like, oh, I could get that.
One, you need higher standards for yourself.
Fair enough. Okay.
Two, that's sad for Howie D. But three, I'm sure he'd be down because he's not doing anything.
Oh, Howie D, I know you're listening and you can come over here and come kiss me.
Yeah, for the podcast.
Maybe we'll set up a kissing booth.
Oh, okay, cool. Wow. I like that. School's back in. I'm getting ready. I'm really enjoying my job right now. All my coworkers are amazing. I'm happy.
Oh.
I am so happy.
Because she was not happy before.
I was not happy. I was so sad.
Sad and Eke. Now we have happy and Eke.
Woo! La 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 la!
Well, in that case, we better get over to the corner, girl.
Let's go!
See you over there. That's me running.
I was just jiggling.
Y'all ready for this?
Da na 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 corner corner da na na corner corner. Okay.
Oh, I was still jamming. Who's that in that nasty groove?
Nasty boys.
Get them out of there.
So.
What up, girl?
We are now entering the regal court of Queen Corner.
Ooh, like the Renaissance Fair.
But a little bit more black.
Ooh, Black Ren Fair.
Yeah, I just, you know, it is Queen Corner because I feel like there's been some queen activity for good and bad lately.
Uh-oh, good and bad queens.
Mm-hmm, and I'm going to circle around back into good again.
And is it like queens or like queens?
It's queens.
Okay. just checking, just wondering. Okay, there's a difference.
I don't feel like I have the right
to talk about queens. Okay.
Because if it came from me, it might be a little offensive.
Okay. I mean, I know it's coming from a place of love.
Okay,
but
good.
I'll talk about the queens next time.
Yeah, and I'll talk about
the queens.
The queens.
Queen Latifah.
I wish. She needs to be doing more. Where I love her.
Queen
her
Latifah.
Show got canceled.
Ugh. What?
Yeah.
And yet Wendy Williams continues to plague the
She's
universe.
She's toxic.
Wendy Williams is a negative person,
She's
and she
so
feels
negative
on the inside, and she projects that to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You
and
heard
she needs
that.
To get her wig game back on point. I said it. I'm sorry. I'm shaming you on your hair, Wendy Williams.
Okay.
So, the September issue of Vogue is the biggest issue.
Oh.
Basically, the September issue for all fashion magazines are, like, the most notable. They put out the latest fashion trends because New York Fashion Week happened, and they're reporting on that. It's usually the thickest. It's huge.
Oh.
There's a documentary on the Vogue September issue on Netflix. You should watch it if you love fashion. So, it is a big damn deal that who Vogue decided to put on their cover? Beyonce.
Okay.
And this Queen is her Bay. Second cover.
Okay.
So I say that's boss activity. That is some queen business.
They don't call her Queen Bay for nothing.
Exactly. And she looks amazing.
Get it, girl.
She got a little bit of flack from a white writer talking about how her hair looks snaggly. But
It's just wet. Oh.
Which I thought, I'm like, it's wet, but that's fashion. You know, they always got to do a little deconstructing on it.
Okay.
Yeah. Right?
The wet look is in. It's back.
Kind of. Is it? Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I can't
keep
up.
As long as it's not crunchy wet, like gel.
Oh, that was big in the 90s. LA Looks? LA Looks? Do I? Not only was it a gel, I'm pretty sure it was a TV show.
I think so, too.
It was both.
Or LA Law.
Both.
Yeah, I know. All of it.
Everything in the 90s was about LA. LA was the... sexy and hot it is.
And Miami, too.
Oh, yeah. But now I think both of those places are terrible and trashy.
It's so true.
Sorry, LA listeners. Actually, I'm not sorry. No. You know it's true.
You just enjoy yourself. So, the main reason that I'm bringing up Beyonce, because this is the best part about her story. She's on the cover of this damn magazine, and if you are not a model, you usually get a spread that they talk about you. They write a whole article about you.
Yeah.
In which they did.
Okay.
But she was not interviewed for it. She refused to speak to them.
Why? Because she's the queen.
Yes!
She's like, this was her response.
Exactly!
Nothing! Oh,
bad. How much of a fucking boss queen can you be where you're like, yes, put me on the cover of the September issue. I'm not going to be interviewed for it, though. You guys have to figure it out. The writer literally said, I kind of had to imagine it as a think piece.
Wow. She's like, make it up.
Yes!
Which I kind of love because I feel like there's no mystery about celebrities anymore these days.
Right.
I feel like there's so much access. Like, I remember, like, wondering what, you know, Janet Jackson sounded like in an interview or something.
Right.
Or, like, wondering, like, what she ate for dinner. But, like, now I feel like everybody's tweeting. I know so much, and there's so much paparazzi. So I think it's kind of interesting.
I think it's good that she's keeping it secret and being a little prince. Ask about it.
Yeah.
But I think that is hella bold. Like, to be on the September issue of Vogue is huge. To be a black woman on the September issue of Vogue is double huge.
With wet hair.
With sewn in looking hot dresses. Mm-hmm. And then to be like, I don't need to be.
You know what? I gotta go. Listen, I gotta go to Blue Ivy, y'all.
Blue, where are you?
Do you remember when her and Jay-Z were... I was thinking about this the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Her and Jay-Z were fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went on tour. Like, now, I feel like...
I saw that tour.
And I feel like, do you think it was staged? Their entire fight was staged?
Oh, I don't know, because...
Because I haven't heard boo about any of it since then.
They're supposed to be as strong as ever now.
Like, there's so much mystery about them now.
She was mad on that stage.
Oh, she was, I felt like I was watching couples therapy.
I know!
And she would, like, barely kiss him, and then at the
end... He would try to kiss her, and she'd be like, mm-mm.
Yeah, and it was like, I feel like you went on this journey of, like, how relationships, you start off, it's happy, it's fun,
yes.
You're a single lady, and you're happy,
woo!
And then you were in heaven, and then you went to hell. Like, literally, the stage was on fire.
2 seconds, and she's, like, crying in a wedding dress, being like, why you fucking cheat on me?
Crying.
Like, straight up crying.
And then they were like shooting things. And then at the end, it was like, but we have a baby. And
she looked tired when she was doing that, though.
Like, tired? Like,
I'm sick of this shit.
Oh, yeah. Right. But I feel like at the end, it was like on the verge of reconciliation.
Yeah. So maybe they were doing okay.
I also think it was maybe staged, but continue.
I think so too. Yeah. A little bit, but I also think couples have their ups and downs.
You can do it.
If I had to perform with Andrew all the time, who I love and who's the best, I'm sure we would get on each other's damn nerves. I mean, come on.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys could bake for each other.
Andrew baked a banana bread last night, and the consistency was moist and soft.
I felt it. It felt good.
I think I advised him to use bad flour, because I didn't think flour got bad.
I don't bake. I'm not a geologist. I'm not a bakeologist.
#Bakeology.
And I'm not a plastic surgeon. So I wouldn't know if any of those things work.
True.
Actually, that would be fun to poke around on someone's face.
I would like to take a Sharpie to someone's face.
Wendy Williams?
Yes, and just draw circles around her eyes and maybe a curly cute mustache.
Oh my God, can we set up a fake plastic surgeon place and be like, come in here, Wendy Williams.
Neither you and nor then... I look like, we would look like babies in dress-up clothes.
Aneke, I'm an actor, I can coach you through this. Yes. We'll put on white lab coats and be like, well, hello, Miss Wendy Williams.
With those voices?
We are going to make a new face for you. And then we sedate her.
Okay.
Or like get her drunk.
That's easy.
And she passes out, and then we just draw all over her face.
We
and
don't
then,
actually do the surgery.
And then, no, we just get, like, draw on her face. And then she wakes up, and she's like, I'm beautiful. Or she goes, there she is.
There she is. That's literally, you just described an 8-year-old slumber party.
So that's what we need to do.
We put her hand in some cold water, warm water too, and she'll pee herself. Maybe we'll freeze her bra. Girls are mean.
Yeah.
Girls are really mean.
Really mean.
Okay, so second part of Queen boss activity.
Oh, yes.
So Aretha Franklin in 1972 recorded the highest grossing gospel album called Amazing Grace, and it was beautiful and wonderful. But little known, Cindy Pollack, who's a great documentary director, was there, and he filmed the whole thing for a documentary. And he died 2 years ago, and the footage was found with his notes on how to create this documentary.
Yeah.
So they made it.
Whoa.
So it's going to be released soon. The trailer just came out, and I would like to celebrate the Queen of Soul,
Aretha,
with some of the bitchy things that she has said over the years.
She recently had a concert here, like the San Jose.
Oh, she did?
And I hear it was okay. She did a lot of covers, and everyone's like, why don't you sing your own song?
Exactly. She does that, like, on purpose.
Because she's like, I could sing your song better than you.
Yes. Exactly.
Wow.
She is the queen of just throwing nasty-ass comments, because I'm not even about to say shade, because there's no subtlety at all in this.
She's very direct. Did you see that video clip where she snubs Patti LaBelle?
Yes.
Like, Patti LaBelle was trying to give her a high five as she was walking down, and she looked her up and down and kept walking.
Aretha Franklin, I can't even handle it. Let me find one. This is from Natalie Cole.
Oh.
Nat King Cole's daughter, who sang Unforgettable.
Love it. My fave.
She said, the first time I saw Aretha was at an industry banquet. She gave me an icy stare and then turned her back on me. It took me weeks to recover. I mean, this is the woman who I revere. She began this make-believe feud and that I still don't understand. I give her the highest respect. Then, now, and always.
See, that was nice.
You that was
she
nice
felt
of her.
She had to, because she, you know, Aretha would come after her with more icy stares.
No.
And start singing her songs. Would sing Unforgettable.
Oh, my God. Okay, here's another one. This is for Diana Ross.
Oh, uh-oh.
So, Diana Ross was supposed to sing this one song called It's My Turn.
Mm.
But then Aretha Franklin was like, I needed to sing this song. And the producer says this. But It's My Turn was only a year old, and it was far too early to forge a cover version of the Diana Ross song. Aretha disagreed. She felt strongly that the song was more suited for her style than Diana's. Yes, but Diana already had the hit. I don't care, said Aretha. It's my turn.
See how she used the song to then justify her point.
Take notes, everybody.
Everybody.
Take notes. Okay. Tina Turner.
Oh, no. You can't. What? No. She's been through enough. Aretha, stop. Aretha, how dare you? Eat the cake, anime. Eat the cake. Oh, wait. That's so mean.
That's bad.
Then why did Beyonce put that in her song?
I don't know, but Beyonce's involved in this, too. Beyonce just found her way into this little story.
Uh-oh.
So Beyonce, in 2008, honored Tina Turner.
I've seen it.
With a Grammy.
And I've always said that, like, you know, that's who Beyonce, I feel, emulates
more
than anybody.
Oh, yeah, because she dances
Janet,
and she kicks.
She's not Paula Abdul.
No. With Scat Cat.
She's not that crazy.
She is Tina Turner.
She's Tina Turner, hands down.
So, she was honoring Tina Turner with a Grammy in 2008, and she called her the queen.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a statement from Aretha Franklin.
I remember this.
I am not sure whose toes I may have stepped on or whose ego I may have bruised between the Grammy writers and Beyonce. However, I dismiss it as a cheap shot for controversy. I think the Grammys and the voting academy for my 20th Grammy in love to Beyonce anyways.
Wow. I feel like Aretha needs a hug.
She needs a hug. She needs a lot of hugs. Like, she needs a straight up hug. Okay, so that's some queen negative activity from Aretha Franklin. Yes. Who needs to get off her high horse.
Listen, you and Madonna, because Madonna's going crazy too. These ladies need to just, you know, respectively step to the side. We still love you.
We need some lady love, especially black lady to other black lady love. What is going on, Aretha?
True. She should, instead of, like, you know, telling them to stay in their lane, she should be, like, you know, mentoring them. And then she could, you know, mold them in her image. That's the way to do it.
Yes. That's conniving.
Well, you know. Big brother, I'm coming for
you. Watching you.
That's how I do.
Okay, so last part about queen activity.
Yes.
These are 12 emerging game-changing women of color in media, journalism, and beyond.
And so, not just Beyonce.
Not just Beyonce.
Beyond.
Beyond. So I bring these people up because everybody focuses their attention on Beyonce, on Aretha Franklin, and all these celebrities. But there are people who are actually changing the game in positive ways.
Ooh, who? Tell me.
Okay, so Ashley Ford.
Who?
She's a writer, she's a speaker, she's an editor. She wrote for Elle, The Guardian, and Slate. She talks about rape culture, body images, the queer experience, thought, and kind of just being honest and refreshing. She's a new voice.
Yeah.
So look out for her, Ashley Ford.
You are a queen in my heart. That's right. I said it, Aretha. There's more than one queen.
Right? Hello.
Yeah.
She's at ashleycford.net, so you could check her out there. And then there is Jasmine Hughes.
Ooh, hi Jasmine.
She's a writer and an editor. And aside from being the associate digital editor for the New York Times Magazine, get a girl!
She's working it out.
Jasmine Hughes is a prolific writer. She's been written up in The New Yorker and The New Republic.
Ooh.
And she likes to add jokes and social commentary about pop culture. Sounds a little familiar.
I was going to say, sounds like she could hang out here in the minority corner.
Jasmine, come on the show.
Yeah, she's ready for you.
She's at @jazzedloon, JAZZEDLOON.
Come on over to the corner.
Come on over to the corner. Okay, there's Marissa Williamson.
Ooh.
She's an artist and an educator. She explores the hidden historical figures like Sally Hemings, which was Thomas Jefferson's slave mistress.
Oh, yeah.
And mother of 6 of his children.
Wait, this writer or Sally Hemings?
No, Sally Hemings.
Oh, I was like, damn.
She's a time traveler.
She's also a time traveler's wife, like myself.
Ooh. Yes. Librarian in that book. I always like to point that out. So she's doing big things with art and education, which I think is really good. She's at marissawilliams.com and at Marissa. How did she get that Twitter
She was the first
handle?
One. She was probably like the first person on
she
Twitter.
Was waiting.
She was like,
Marissa.
Me.
I got, I'm not going to say my email on there, but.
Did you get the first at aneke.com?
Yes.
Okay, good for you.
But don't look it up, it's dead now.
Yeah. She murdered it.
There is Zaraha Norbaski. She is a comedian and a podcast host who talks about being Muslim, first generation American, feminist, and her podcast is #GoodMuslimBadMuslim. And she co-hosts it with Taz Ahmed. They explore the intersection of religious identity, contemporary life through current events, political commentary, with a whole lot of laughs. Sounds kind of like
sounds very familiar.
Maybe we could do a...
We could do a joint podcast.
I would love that.
That would be great.
That'd
we
be
just
great.
Figured out how to use our microphones correctly, so come help, on
help
over.
Help us out.
Or let's just use yours.
Yeah.
Let's use your equipment.
Can we use your studio?
And your intern.
Please, thank you.
Ha!
Bye. And then let me just do one more, okay? There's Ping Zhu. She is an illustrator. I just want to get all the mediums out there, too. She has been in major publications like the New York Times.
Ooh.
And her artwork regularly depicts people of all genders, races, and identity performing non-stereotypical activities, setting a high bar for representing inclusivity.
Wow.
So she's not...
What's up with her art?
Right, that's so fantastic. Not only is she a woman of color out there doing boss activity, being a queen, she's also spreading the notion that we can all do this ourselves.
I think what you're getting at is you're throwing shade at Aretha Franklin and saying, this is how to do it.
This is how to be a
real queen. Oh my God, Hideki, you're about, I hope you're ready. Saddle up, because you and Aretha are about to throw down and have a feud.
She can bring her purse. I'm ready. Bring it on. Come on, Aretha.
And every,
I got you.
Every time you've sang on this podcast, she's going to re-record it and be like, this is how to sing the Quizlet Corner.
It's just going to be a podcast of quick little snippets being like, do, Quizlet Corner, James. But
she's
like, beautiful. We're all going to cry listening to it.
We will.
Because she's, I'll admit, you can sing, Aretha.
She can.
But come on.
Can't be a nice person.
Let's actually support one another. Women of color.
Black ladies solidarity.
Yes. Women of color solidarity, too. We need allyships for across the board.
Well done. Well, Hideki, you're a queen in my heart.
Thank you. You are a king in my heart and a queen in my soul.
Oh, hey. I'm a queen, too.
Did you like that? Was that weird? I was trying to work it in.
Girl, I was hoping. I was going to be like, I'm not just a king. I'm a queen and a king.
Royalty. And a king.
I'm all of them. No. And a prince. And a princess.
I'm just a little serf.
A servant?
Serf.
I don't know what that is.
You don't know what I thought you went to the Renaissance Fair.
Yeah, I was 8. I wasn't.
You're supposed
to
soak
in that. I was
eating
my turkey leg and looking at the boobies. That's what happened.
That's what I'm going to do when we go. That's what we need to do. We need to go to the Renaissance Fair with a camera crew and just see us screaming at everybody, basically.
Done. All right, we're going to the Ren Fair.
Hashtag Minority Ren Fair.
See you there.
Scared. Here we are in James Corner.
Straight out of Compton.
Oh.
We straight out of Compton Corner.
Neither of us are, but...
We're not.
Okay.
So...
The movie,
Straight Out of Compton. It hit theaters. It's in theaters. It is the number one movie right now. It made $60 million.
What?
Isn't that big?
That's crazy.
For, like, it's a non-superhero, not a sequel.
Right.
In August, which is usually a dead month, movie made $60 million.
That's craziness.
There's some things that let's unpack and let's talk about the movie Straight Outta Compton.
So good, I've been wanting to.
It revolves around the NWA, which was this rap group back in the 90s. It had like Ice Cube, Dr. Dre, Eazy-E. And I think one of the reasons I'm glad this movie exists is because it's showing it, for one, black people in a movie. And it's successful.
Hooray!
Yay, we exist. And throughout the 90s, the media really tried to present the NWA as just these criminals, these thugs, and really put a bad image onto them. And it's so nice for them to be able to show their other side.
Yeah, their story.
And show their other story. Mm-hmm. So I applaud that. And I think, you know, at the core, this is a movie that it parallels a lot of stuff that's still happening today, where it really, you know... depicts the frustrations of black men being faced with harassment from the police.
Right.
Because these folks were absolutely harassed.
Yeah.
On the other side,
yep.
There was a lot of backstage weirdness and drama.
Here we go. I know it.
Yeah. I had to take it there.
Let's talk about it. And I think it's important to talk about it.
Well, because, you know, part of me, it's hard because, like, I want to just celebrate black culture and black things.
Right.
But I also got to, you know, if I'm going to... point out the holes in things like what Roland Emmerich is doing in Stonewall, I gotta point out the holes in what we're doing in how we're telling our history
exactly.
as well.
Exactly! Because we gotta respect all people who are black.
Yes.
And all representations of us
and expect even better from our own community.
Yes.
So, there's two points that I wanna discuss about this movie.
Yes.
One of the biggest things is that this movie is being accused of essentially revisionist history.
Totally.
Something that is completely missing from this film is all the physical violence against the women in these guys' lives is completely absent from this movie.
And these are black women.
So let's get into who these black women were.
Yes.
One of the biggest cases was Dee Barnes, who she kind of grew up with them, and she was a bit of an MC as well.
Mm-hmm.
And her biggest thing is she was a journalist from, I don't know if you remember this TV show, it's called Pump It Up. It was in the 90s.
So 90s. That's like the most 90s name. I'm imagining a graphic with like geographic, super like colors. Geometry behind yes. it.
Lots of colors.
Yeah.
Pump it up. And it has an exclamation point.
Yeah.
And it was about like, they went into like a lot of like hip hop culture right. And like.
Pump up the jam.
Pump it up. That's probably where it came from.
Totally where it came from.
Dee Barnes was one of the hosts for the show.
Okay.
She was one of the journalists for it. And Ice Cube had left NWA back in about 91.
Oh, so he left pretty early.
He left pretty early. And it was mostly over money.
Yeah, of course, always.
And so he was also filming Boys in the Hood.
Oh, right.
At this time. And so, and the NWA never liked to do like interviews and stuff, but they wanted, people wanted to know what happened, what was the fallout. And so NWA had done an interview, and they had done a segment. And then Dee Barnes, she was on the set of Boys in the Hood to interview Yo-Yo, the female MC rapper
right.
Yo-Yo.
Right.
She was there to interview Yo-Yo.
Yo-Yo was in Boys in the Hood?
Yeah, I guess so.
I haven't seen that movie. It's been a long time. Ooh, okay.
Ice Cube kind of crashed the interview, and he started talking about all this stuff about NWA. Or he said, it was very casual kind of what he said, but he was throwing some shade. And then the producer was like, great, cut. We're going to throw that into the NWA segment. So then what happened was, so then what it looks like is NWA's talking,
yeah.
and then they cut it to Ice Cube is saying something.
But he did say something, though.
So what happened was, is NWA felt like they were made to look stupid.
Oh.
And Dee Barnes was saying, you can't do this, like, don't edit it this way. She had no control over the editing.
Yeah, she was just a journalist.
Fast forward, Dr. Dre didn't think of that.
Oh, no.
Or Andre Young.
That's his real name. That's
his real name.
You're not a doctor. Show me your credentials.
Where is it? Where, Dre?
Show me the receipts.
I want to see. Where? How did you pay for this? So Andre Young confronted. He was drunk at a party, and essentially, here is the account of what happened. He attempted to throw her down a flight of stairs.
Shit!
Slammed her head against a wall.
Oh my
kicked
God.
Her and stomped on her fingers. And people, this is at a party, and people were just watching.
People were around?
Somebody tried to stop, but the bodyguard, like, punched him in the face with a gun, and he just pistol whipped him.
Oh my God.
DJ Ed Lover was there and didn't do a damn thing.
He's supposed to be, like, fun guy. Didn't he host Yo MTV Raps?
And he was,
like, such a nice guy.
Yeah.
He just let this happen.
And so pretty much, so she, and like, because they had grown up together, and she was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And like, she thought she was going to die, and like, he was like choking her.
Oh my God.
And people were just stood by and didn't do anything because they felt like she made them look stupid. And anytime anybody from the NWA talked about it, like, they would say that that bitch got what she deserved, and they would do it again.
Oh,
and at one point, he even told Rolling Stone, he said, ain't no big thing. I just threw her through a door. And then as time went on, he kept further and further away from it of, like, I didn't do anything. Nothing really happened. This huge lawsuit went on.
Oh, my God.
She was suing for, like, and people at NWA also were saying she got what she deserved. Like,
man,
She was, like, a sister to me. I would do the same thing to a brother of mine.
No!
And all of this, like, Dee Barnes wrote an article for Gawker about this because she saw the film.
Right.
And she was, like, she saw that, like, her point in history was completely skipped over.
Erasure.
It was, yeah. And so it's this revisionist history of eliminating this, you know, story and this huge part. She's not the only one. Michelle A, she was a singer she's an R&B singer. She would sing on Dre's tracks. She was a girlfriend to Dre for like 5 years.
Dang, long time.
He also beat the shit out of her.
God.
She was quoted as saying, I was just a quiet girlfriend who got beat on and told to sit down and shut up.
All of this hate for women, where does it stem from?
Another one. This is not the only, there's another one.
Yeah.
Terari P was punched at the Grammys back in 1990.
God.
And, you know, they talk about, you know, very in this hyperbolic sense in their rap music about beating up women and like, bitch suck my dick and all that sort of stuff and this violent aggression towards women, and it's sort of like in this hyperbolic sort of sense, but then they're actually doing it.
Right. I mean, you preach something for a while, you start to believe your own sermon.
Right.
And if you're constantly talking about how women aren't worth it and how bitches ain't shit and how they're subordinate to you, of course it's going to result in violence and disrespect. But then also to erase it from the movie is being dishonest to the story. into right. black women.
Well, and she kind of had, she saw two sides to this.
Okay.
She said, because for her, she was like, I would not want to see my character. She would not want to see that.
Yeah.
But she felt like it could have been addressed. I think there's smart right. ways than in to film that allude could have been addressed. And I think, like, if you're really trying to capture, like, the heart and the history of what this really story is, and I think in general in America, and especially even in black cultures, there's just things that we don't talk about, like right. the domestic abuse and violence. And what a great film it would have been mm-hmm. to, like, have had addressed this.
I think so.
And she was sued for $22.7 million, and mm-hmm. she didn't, she was like, I didn't even get, like, they settled outside of court.
Right.
At one point, like, it went on for so long, and Dre even, like, stopped going to the court hearings, all this sort of stuff.
Oh, my God.
She's like, I didn't even get end up getting a million out of this. She was blacklisted. Jesus. She auditioned for Set It Off.
Yeah.
And she was perfect for the role, and they said, we can't give you this part because Dre is in the movie. And
but Set It Off is, like, all about women and...
She was blacklisted. She couldn't get, like, work, and she was back to doing a 9-to-5 and couldn't even do the journalism that she loved doing.
How heartbreaking.
JJ, and so there's a lot of, like, women that are missing from the film. Yo-Yo's not in this movie. A lot of the female MCs. JJ Fad, who wrote Supersonic.
That's me and Andrew's favorite song.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
They actually are the catalyst for why NWA was so successful.
Oh, my God. Tell me about it.
NWA.
Yes.
And they opened the door for NWA. And so it's weird that they're not
in the movie. Movie
at all. And so the only women that are in the film
Uh-oh.
Are, I can, there's a cat, there was a casting call that okay. went out.
Oh, great. So I love, like, these.
There's moms who are in it, you know.
Gotta love your mama. Gotta love your moms. But then beat your girlfriend. Come on.
So there's a casting call for, there's the four different tiers of women they were auditioning for. So there's A-girls.
Okay. I'm so scared.
You should be. A-girls. These are the hottest of the hottest. Models must have real hair, no extensions, very classy looking, great bodies. You can be black, white, Asian, Hispanic, Middle Eastern, or mixed race too.
What the fuck is this real hair business?
But those are
that's a dig to black women.
It's getting let's see. Okay, let's yeah. see how the other girls are.
I'm gonna
B girls.
Uh-oh.
These are fine girls. Long, natural hair, here really nice again. Bodies, small waist, nice hips. You should be light skin. Beyonce is a prototype here.
Beyonce doesn't have a real hair on her body.
C-girls. These are African-American girls. Medium to light skin with a weave. D-girls.
C is only is what? Okay.
Well, then what's D-girl?
I can't handle
this. D-girls. These are African-American girls. Poor, not in good shape. Medium to dark skin.
What?
Tone.
I can't
this is the handle movie that Dre produced, that Ice Cube produced. Like, they had a hand in all of this.
This is disgusting.
And, you know, it's just so, it's disheartening. It's really disheartening. And it's frustrating.
This is why we need to talk about intersectionality. Because a lot of the time throughout history, not a lot of the time, throughout history, it's always been, if you're a black woman, you either got to pick supporting black men
yes.
or supporting women, because both sides pick away at either side, if that right. makes sense.
Yeah.
If you are supporting women, they will hardly ever touch black issues with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah.
And if you are supporting black men issues, because let's be honest, that's what it revolves around.
Absolutely.
You have to deal with this shit, like this movie that's making so much money. So happy that black people are making money like this, or in the box office, or being prominent. But then we have to deal with this misogynist bullshit about how we are C and D list, and weaves and no weaves, and light skinned and dark skinned continued issues.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking to me.
And there is, like, you know, there's, you know, the police violence against the black community, and you have this violence that's rooted in racism, but right. yet we then perpetuate this other violence to people in our own community.
Right.
Through patriarchy.
Right.
And so actually, like, you know, that's why, like, it was really challenging for these women to even, it's really challenging for black women to even come forward to talk about the violence that happens against them, because there is this wanting to support black culture and black things. I was even hesitant to even bring this up because I was like, I want to support black culture and black things, but right. I gotta shine a light on this because we can do better. We have to do better.
Right.
you know, I will say Dre has apologized recently about the violence that he that did happen against these women.
I saw his apology.
I think that if he really wanted to apologize, then he would have allowed for people to see this side of him. And yes, he was young, and yes, he was drunk, and yes, he is tried to atone for that. But I think, like, if you're going to tell the story, then tell the story right.
Yes, and or atone in a visible way by going to a battered women's shelter, donating money. Add, like, the organization website at the end of your film.
Make a song about it.
Make a song about it.
Do a video about it. Like, instead, like, you had, like, Eminem, who made a very casual, like, in their rap that they had, like, those years ago. Like,
he's so misogynist.
Well, no, he said something about, like, you're gonna take advice from the man who slapped Dee Barnes. Like,
he said that casually?
In the rap. Like, I forget. It was, like, one of their first raps that they came out. And I didn't know who Dee Barnes, didn't remember the whole Dee Barnes story. I think the biggest thing that I also get out of this is this reminds me of Stonewall's complete whitewashing.
Exactly.
And so what I've come up with, Hollywood is bullshit.
Yes.
That's what I'm walking away with. Hollywood is bullshit. I think, like, you know, Dre and Cube, you're bought.
Oh, you want to make that money. Completely bought.
You're so far
Because away. I'm angry. And I had to get away from the mic. How do you, I have to ask you this question, though, because this is fascinating to me. You are an actor.
Yeah.
And you're moving to New York to go further in your career.
Mm-hmm. There's parts that I'm not auditioning for. I didn't. Yeah. There was.
So
I
how
had
do
a casting,
you feel? How does it feel as an actor?
I had a casting call to play this like gangster in Louisiana, and I was like, "That's not me." And I told my agent, "Like, there's just certain things that like I'm not willing to go for it, and I'm not gonna go and do."
Right. So, that's good.
You know, you gotta have your own standards. I want to throw this last thing out there that Dee Barnes is writing a. She's coming out with a memoir that's coming out. It's called Music, Myth, and Misogyny: Memoirs of a Female MC. So ooh, let's hear her side of the story and support her.
Yes, let's buy her books
and get her and set it off too.
Please, actually, no. She could do better than set it off too.
It would be like straight to DVD video on demand.
I know. Though I did recently watch Magic Mike XXL. Very feminist movie, by the way. Okay. And
have you watched Chocolate City?
Jada Pinkett Smith.
You talked about this already.
Did I?
You did.
About how she was amazing in it?
Yeah.
Oh, I love her. You did. Well, you talked about Set It Off, and she was in Set It Off with Queen Latifah.
Oh, yeah.
NWA tell their story, which is great.
Yeah.
But I feel like the problem with them in the 90s, their story then became the black story.
That's true.
Which is not true.
Wasn't everybody's story.
Not everybody's story. It's one segment of the story.
True.
But I feel like the rest of America, everybody else who wasn't black, took that to be the black experience.
Yeah.
And that bothered me. And I just wish that if it were a movie about hip-hop or a movie about black culture, that it was positive. That it would show different elements about us. And I would love Tribe Called Quest to be, you know, the subject of a movie or
totally.
Or
Salt and Pepper.
Salt and Pepper.
They did have that VH1 reality show.
They did. That and was, that was hilarious and crazy.
They're so funny. I love them.
And positive.
Yeah.
And like not just so. To me, it feels like NWA was pushed to the front because it's so gritty and scary, but also challenging and controversial. But it just perpetuates the image of the scary, gritty black people.
And that's why I think this movie was made, though, to counteract that. And so that's why I applaud that this movie was made. Because
which is good.
Think, like, I think it's to show, to humanize these guys.
Which is good.
Because they were viewed and vilified in such a negative way. I think, for me, it's just like the problem is that, like, You gotta show all sides, though.
You gotta show all
sides.
You gotta show the nasty things that they did do, and also show that there are different types of black experience.
Yeah. Well, and maybe that's what, but maybe that is like what this movie does, is it shows this experience, and then you have, like, I don't know, Tyler Perry showing the other side, and then you have Lee Daniels.
I guess I just get frustrated that the movies that are like positive for black people are the movies that are marketed only to black people, you know what I mean? Like Straight Outta Compton was marketed to everybody.
Yeah.
I would want like a positive rom-com black people movie to be marketed to everybody as well instead of just like
Sana Lathan has a new movie coming out. It's a suspense black thriller.
But is it marketed to everybody?
I don't know. I saw it.
See, like Chocolate City, we were talking about Magic Mike versus Chocolate City. Magic Mike was promoted to everybody. Chocolate City was, like, only on BET.
But we also don't have, like, we don't have the money. We don't control Hollywood. But the people who are in power, the people like Dr. Dre and Ice Cube, who have the money, and they're going to control and tell their stories the way they want to tell them.
It's true. Like, Barbershop, though, I have to give Ice Cube credit. That's a positive black movie that
Friday's
made it to great. The...
Love Friday is amazing. It's so good.
And it made it to the mainstream, which I'm happy about.
Last thing I want to do to wrap up is I do want to say it was really fucked up that they had a increased security at like screenings last weekend for this movie. But I just want to remind everybody, when there are mass shootings in movie theaters, think about who's pulling those triggers.
Right.
It's not black folks.
Everybody, whenever you feel a little afraid when you're around a black person, just know... we're not out to get you. We don't care about you.
Nope.
We're just living our lives being afraid of cops.
Yep, that's it. Quizlet Corner.
Quizlet Corner.
Quiz, 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 Quizlet, Quizlet Corner.
I think we actually have an official song now.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's zesty. All right, this one is about the prison industrial complex.
Yay.
I know I lied to you and told you that it would be a fun one.
I know, this is deep.
One of these things is not true.
Okay.
The rest of them are true.
Okay.
Private prison lobbyists have been raising cash for Hillary. Nike saves on money by cheap prison labor. Donald Trump has been investing into prisons for over 15 years. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation gave $2.2 million to the GEO Group, and or Michael Jordan is a stockholder in CCA, which is a for-profit prison company. One of these is not true.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Donald Trump one isn't, and say that it's been a longer amount of time for him.
Okay.
That's my guess.
Interesting. Okay. The answer is, you are right, it is Donald Trump. But not for the reasons you think. Donald Trump does not invest in prisons.
Oh.
But you know who does?
Who?
Michael Jordan.
Which is depressing.
I'm so frustrated and so upset, and I'm going to put him in the corner. So Michael Jordan's now a billionaire.
Yeah.
And, like, for one, we have a for-profit prison system, and he's been, and it's so sad and frustrating. His Jordans are also being made, like, Nike. Kevin Mannix, who is the former Oregon state representative, went to Nike and said, hey, we can do better than Indonesia. We have prisons. Because how much are the prisoners getting paid to make these Air Jordans?
Jack shit.
$20 to $30 a month.
Oh my God.
A month. So that's like, it's just enough money so they can say it's not slavery.
Yeah.
But it is slavery. And America has a love affair with slavery. We always have. And as soon as slavery ended, there was a rise in prisons.
Right. Because we don't like cheap labor. We like free labor.
Free labor. So you have these companies who are making a shit, like almost 100% profit, not having to pay anybody. And what really frustrates me about Michael Jordan is that his Air Jordans are being made in these prisons.
Right.
And like back in the 90s, like, black kids were killing each other for these Jordans. Yep. Jordan never said anything, never came out and said, hey, like, he never really stepped out as, like...
Right, to say, like, hey, it's just a shoe, y'all.
Or to lower the prices of his expensive-ass shoes that these black kids were killing themselves for because they wanted to be like him.
And then going to jail and making them now.
And now they're not only making the shoes, but he's investing into them making the shoes. He didn't put his money into schools, and he's a fucking billionaire, and I am so... And you know what? He had the audacity to say Chameleonaire wanted to take a picture with him.
Yeah.
And he says, I don't take photos with niggers.
Shut up, he said that!
I would say you are fucking, like, Uncle Tom Cone. I'm gonna call him that.
He said that?
I'm so over Michael Jordan.
Oh my God.
Michael Jordan, fuck you. I'm so pissed off at him.
Don't wear Jordans.
Don't. And like, and I'm going to, here's a list.
I can't believe he said that.
And here's a list of other, and also the Belinda. Fuck you, Belinda. Is that what we call Bill and Melinda?
Belinda.
Belinda. Well, fuck you guys.
What happened? They normally do good things.
I read.
I know.
$2.2 million from their foundation goes to, like, prisons.
Which is crazy.
They also invest in McDonald's. Like, all kinds of shit.
Oh,
like,
my
Lord. That's how they're so fucking rich. Who else profits from the prison system and things that are getting made? Well, in Hillary's defense, people can raise money for you, and you don't do anything.
You just take it. Yeah. You're like, thank you.
But to be fair, because they believe, like, they know, like, with Sanders, like, it's gonna, like for the for-profit prisons to make money, there has to be people in these prisons.
Right.
That's how it works.
Yes. Like,
so under Sanders, they would lose money because there's not going to be as many people because of laws and stuff that he supports and he's going to pass. With Hillary, they feel like they'll
be able to get people in the prisons.
Yeah. So also
this is disgusting.
So IBM also things like people who benefit.
Well, that doesn't surprise me IBM because
Motorola,
they used to be Nazis.
Microsoft, AT&T, Dell, Texas Instrument. Your calculators, made in prisons.
I believe it. Texas.
Dell, I know. HP, TWA, Revlon, Nordstrom's, Macy's, and Target.
Nordstrom's?
So, I will never forget, I was taking an Angela Davis class about the prison industrial complex.
Right.
And I was reading this part and it said, yeah, even the furniture from the UC systems are made in prisons. And I was like sitting at my desk at UC Santa Cruz.
Just being like, oh my God.
I'm a part of this. Ugh. So what I challenge us is to investigate more into the prison system. Wildly affects blacks and Hispanics and poor whites. Now, one or two things are possible.
Okay.
Either the systems in place really target and attack certain communities, and even poor whites.
Yeah, they target and attack to get them in the prisons.
Blacks and poor whites and Hispanics, either there's rules in place that are targeting them, or you believe that these people are actually deserving and criminals. And you can believe either, but if you believe the second one, you're a racist.
Because, let's just remind everyone that me, a librarian, very upstanding woman who was on her way to Catholic Mass for the school where I was the head librarian at a Catholic school, was just normally sitting in my car at a parking lot at a mall checking Facebook on my iPhone in my Volvo that I paid off, was then accosted by a police asking me if the car was mine.
Yeah.
So let's just deconstruct that and apply it to this, that there's already a target on my back looking just because
you're
of
black.
My skin.
You could have, and like had that gone, that could have gone so many different ways.
Right.
And it's heartbreaking. My brother last night was an emotional wreck. He had a great time at the show.
That's good.
We drank a lot, okay. And emotions came out. And, like, I talked about my nephew before.
Right.
My brother is terrified about my nephew.
Mm-hmm.
My nephew's 13, and he's just a teenager.
Right.
But he's a black teenager, but, like, he's a teen.
Right.
And, like, he might do something just teenagerish, and if he doesn't respond the way that, you know, the police want him to respond.
Right.
Like, and that's, my brother's terrified for the life of my nephew.
And we're bringing this up because it all connects. If you didn't hear what James said, is prisons for profit only make money when people are in them. So in order to make money from them, you have to have people in them, which means there's a heightened search for people to be placed in prisons, which means there's a heightened search of police officers to target certain individuals that can easily be trapped by the system and placed in these prisons.
Yep.
So this is why Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. The Jordans, the corporations that have all this money tied up into it, are affected by the lives that are placed in the prison.
It's all connected.
It is. Don't buy Jordans.
Don't buy Jordans. And fuck you, Michael Jordan. I'm over
Seriously.
It. Pissed off. You know what?
He can go in the corner.
And get out of my Space Jam. I want them to re-edit Space Jam with him out of it. And Space Jam was weird. I don't want to go too deep into it, but that was weird.
That's weird.
It was like literally like his Paul Abdul moment.
It was.
It was his
MC Scat movie.
And
of
the whole entire movie was actually just because he was going back into basketball. It was literally a marketing campaign because he was going back into basketball.
It was terrible. Let's put, what's his face from the Warriors? Steven. What's your name, Steven? What's your cute little daughter?
I have no idea who you're talking about. Basketball, baseball, it's all French to me.
Oui, oui.
Just the two of us. It was just the two of us this week.
We can make it if we try.
That's so sad.
We can, I know.
We can make it if we try.
Is that really the lyrics?
That's really sad. Well, we can try, Neke. We can keep trying on our podcast. We're holding hands.
We are holding hands because we're going to do this. We don't need a guest every day.
We don't need a guest every day.
But thank you, Saturn, for coming last week. And thank you, Pearl, for coming.
We have some great guests lined up. Neke wants to put someone in the corner.
I'm going to put the music industry in the corner.
Okay.
Because one, we need to promote our R&B artists and to pop artists like Janet Jackson needs to come back. Two,
stay woke,
y'all. And two, I would like to put them in the corner for promoting negative images of African Americans in their music.
And especially women.
And especially women, objectifying them. So you can do better, music industry.
I will say I was a video hoe this weekend.
You were?
I choreographed for this drag king, Mad Dog 2020.
You've been doing that for a while.
But it's funny, because Mad Dog is like this hip-hop, like, it's a woman who then dresses like a hip-hop, like, gangster rapper.
Yeah.
And she's so good, or he's so good. And so what I like to do is have us wear, like, we were wearing booty, like, Daisy Duke shorts.
Yes.
And just doing, like, you know, it's like...
Just booty pops.
Like, and just, like, very, like, you know, what women would usually be doing, choreography, and
just flip it around.
And we flipped it around, so you have this great image of, like, this hip-hop, like, rapper, and then these, like, gay-ass backup dancers.
Just, like, boot and pop in. That's subversive.
Isn't that funny?
That's
good. I think good. That's great. It's a great image. Last thing I forgot to talk about. Two things. One, the U.S. Senate just confirmed their first black gay judge.
Yes.
Well, openly gay.
Okay.
Because I'm sure there's been some secrets.
Washington, D.C., we got your eyes on you. Just come out. Live your life.
Last thing I want to say, and end on this amazing, positive, high note, Campaign Zero.
Okay, explain it.
Campaign Zero. So many people are always like, well, Black Lives Matter, what is it that you want? Like, even Hillary was like, you've got to outline it. Boom, we've got it.
Yes.
It's called Campaign Zero. There's 10 specific things that we want. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful website. Check it out.
Oh, I'm going to.
CampaignZero.com. It's pretty much all the points, mm-hmm. and they're tangible points that can be achieved.
Okay, let's
so
hear.
So we're going to point, we're going to, I'll post them, but I'm just going to quick, there's 10 of them.
Let's go through.
I'm just going to go through them really quickly. End broken windows policing.
Yes, that means to stop looking at the tiny things, right?
Stop looking at the tiny things, because 287 people were killed from minor offenses.
Bullshit.
Just last year. 287, I think, people of color. They want stronger community oversight.
I love it.
So the communities are more engaged into like what's happening and their complaints are actually being heard.
Pay attention to your neighbors.
Only one in every 12 complaints against police ended up in a disciplinary action. Mm. Limit the use of force.
Yeah, come on.
You know, and that's probably also going through, like, monitor how police force is being used.
Right.
And
better training.
Yes, that's a huge part of it. Holding officers more accountable. Number four, independent investigations and prosecutions.
Ooh, I like that.
So kind of even going with, like, you know, grand juries or
less secrets.
Less secrets. A lot of these points are about more transparency and yes. having more community involvement into how their communities are being run.
Yes.
Getting it more out there in the open.
And by the way, a lot of these points are great across the board for any community.
And also I want to say is that, well, everyone's going to benefit from this.
Yes.
And I want to say all of these points that they have are actually laws that some city or some state actually already has in place.
Oh.
So they pretty much took out, it's a hodgepodge of all these different laws that are in different places of the country.
To make something
and
beautiful.
And make it just a federal-wide stance.
I love
across
it.
The board.
Okay.
Number five, community representation.
Yes.
So having more people from the communities actually policing their own communities, which makes sense.
Duh, yeah.
Body cams, filming the police, number six.
Yep.
Seven, like you said, better training.
Love it.
Because it only takes 6 months to be a cop, but it takes like 2-3 years to be a lawyer.
It took me 2.5 years to become a librarian.
It doesn't make any sense.
What?
You need such stronger training.
Yeah, okay.
Number eight, end for-profit policing.
Yes!
Police have quotas that are all tied also into, like, the
prison. The prison complex. We need to just end quotas and
yeah.
for-profit shit. Come on.
Yeah. Number nine, the demilitarization of the police.
Yes.
That way police are not getting, like, they have tanks and, like, what do you need a tank for?
I know, like, SWAT suits with, like, bullet, like...
Rocket launchers. If I'm robbing a bank, you do not need to get me with a rocket launcher.
We're not, like, evil Marvel villains.
No, this is not, yeah, we're not, there's not aliens coming to attack us. And number 10, fair police contracts.
Okay, yeah.
Ensuring officers do not get paid after they kill, like,
yes.
or injure somebody.
Do you know what the saddest thing about all of this is?
What?
This is all common sense.
Right, well... Yeah, absolutely. And Campaign Zero, so they also looked into, you know, this is all on their website. Please check it out. Support it. How do the candidates mm-hmm. fare up against it?
Mm-hmm.
So Sanders supports all of these currently right now, except for number 2 and number 10.
Okay.
And Clinton only supports number 5 and number 7. And then on the Republican side,
mm-hmm.
the only candidate to support anything mm-hmm. is Rand, and he supports number 2, which is community oversight.
Oh my God.
So, but I think that's so exciting because so many people, you know, I get from a lot of white folks and they're like
what can I do?
no, that's not, yes, but
yeah,
no.
Yeah, I get that.
But that's not what I'm talking about in terms of this. Okay. Why I'm liking this. Mm-hmm. I get so many white folks who are like, well, what is it that you want?
Oh. That's what I'm saying. I'm getting more of the positive angle.
I'm getting folks who are so many times really? Are just like, well, what is it that you need to specifically put into points of like, what is it that you want? And like, and here it is. Boom. And that's what I love about this. Right. Bam. Here it is. It's in your face.
CampaignZero.com, right?
Yep. CampaignZero.com. Wow. What an episode.
Whew.
I'm exhausted.
A lot of information. I know. You gave it to me.
I did. Are you okay after
I'm
all
good.
That?
I'm feeling
did
good.
Do you need a stretch after that?
I'm stretching right now a little bit. I'm moving my arm.
Move it like this. No one can see what
Nobody
I'm
can
doing.
See that.
Let's give a shout out to our international folks.
Thank you for listening across the seas.
Do you guys know that we're international?
I really am impressed with y'all.
There's someone in France. We've got downloads in France, Morocco, Bonjour. Canada, the UK, and the Philippines.
Maybe, well, the Philippines was probably, that was probably me. I'm just...
When you were in the Philippines?
Just probably.
But there was 9 downloads.
Oh.
There's no way you downloaded 9 of our episodes.
No.
So there's 9. So I
Hell
don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's 9 downloads in the Philippines?
Yeah. I thought it was you at first, too.
Maybe it could have been, you know, shout out to Harry Radaza. Was that you who was listening? That's awesome. But all of y'all international, all of y'all local, all of y'all national, thank you for listening.
We love it.
We love it. Share it. Share it with your friends.
Yeah. Spread the word about Minority Corner.
With a K.
With a K.
On iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
On our Facebook page.
On our Facebook page.
On Twitter.
Twitter. And a shout out to you.
Ryan Christo, once again, Corner Kid number one, saw a picture that I sent him of James recording and told us, like, y'all need to fix your mics.
He's like, you're using your mics wrong. And Nekka was like, no, we're not! I'm sorry, you're sounding like Lily Tomlin.
I did sound a little bit like Lily Tomlin right then. By the way, I just read this really great article on Lily Tomlin in Vulture. You also read it. She's 76 years old. She's been in the game for almost 50 years, and she's back with a movie called Grandma, where she plays
this.
A lesbian, finally.
Oh.
And she's in that new TV show, Gracie.
Gracie and Frank. Mm-hmm. Grace and Frankie.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's great. Go Lily Tomlin. She's like our spirit animal.
She really is. I love her.
I do too.
Well, I guess I'll see you next week, Inneke.
You too.
Well, let's go to brunch.
I think we should go to brunch.
All right. Let's go. I mean, if it's Tuesday, let's go to dinner.
Yeah, because I'm at work right now. Bye, y'all.
See y'all later. See you next week.